Have your Bibles. I encourage you to open them up to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to talk about being spiritual farmers. How many of you have ever farmed before? Raise your hand. Farm. All right. Quite a few farmers around. That's good. When I ask you a question in a few minutes, it should be pretty easy. You know, God is the creator of all things. Amen. And there is order in the universe. Amen. I don't care what the scientists try to tell us or try to put over on us. I wonder how in the world they explain away the order we have in the universe. It just exploded one day and we had order in the universe, right? No, come on. Even I'm from Picnic and I know better than that. Guys, there are certain laws. You know, if you climb up on top of this building and jump off, what's going to happen? You're going to smack. It's a law. It's going to happen. If I want to get corn and I want to harvest corn, what kind of seeds have I got to plant? Well, what if I plant mustard seeds? Won't I get corn? And why is that? It's a law. Corn don't grow mustard. Mustard don't grow corn, okay? Now, I know scientists today like to try to improve everything. Genetically, they try to alter this and alter that. It's an amazing thing. When I was in Guatemala a few years ago, their ears of corn only grow one ear per plant. Only one. And if you were to pull that ear off and try to eat it, you'd be going, "What is this mess?" Because it wouldn't be sweet compared to ours. It's a field-type corn. Well, being Americans, and you know how we like to tell everybody how much more we know than they know, we tried to go in and convince them it'd be better if they grew a different kind of corn because they could get more ears per plant and it would be sweeter. Guess what? They didn't like the taste of it. So when you genetically alter things, it's not always for the best. But guys, there are certain laws, and those laws apply just common sense every day. If you're going to get corn, you got to plant corn. If you're going to get mustard, you got to plant mustard. That's just a common sense law that God put into place when He created everything. And that's what we're going to talk about. Notice, if you will, in verse 7, chapter 6 of Galatians, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now there's that law. Amen. It's not only a physical law, but it is a spiritual law. Did you know that? Whatever a person tends to do in his life, that's what he's going to reap. Now, by the way, we're not talking about how to get salvation in this passage, okay? There's always those going to talk about, well, Brother Terry, doesn't it mean I've got to work to get my salvation? No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking to believers at this moment, okay? Actually, if you put it into context, he just got through talking about paying the preacher. You notice I left that part out. If you read the verse ahead of that, you'll find out it's talking about paying the preacher. I had somebody relate to me a story a while back, and they had not given their pastor a raise in a long, long time. And this person wanted to do something about it. And I said, well, you got to go to them and say, listen, if you want God to bless the church, and it doesn't matter where you appreciate everything that he does or not, you honor the office. Hello? I mean, that's what it talks about. You know, the thing gives all kinds of principles about when an ox is pulling, say, a grits mill or anything like that around, it said don't stop him from eating some of it. Hello? He's worth his weight in gold if he's pulling that thing around. You don't have to. All right? So, good. But now I want you to look at it in a spiritual sense. What a person reaps is what he sows with what he reaps. You know, each person will decide that. You know, when you get ready to plant something in the fall and the spring, do you sit back and go, let's just get a bunch of seeds and mix them all together and chunk them in the ground, see what comes up? Well, now, first of all, you couldn't do that unless you at least pick the seeds that'll grow that time of the year. There are certain things that won't grow well in one season against the other season. So, you know, and some things don't grow good together. You know what happens if you plant something like peas that crawl all over the place and cover up the rest of your vines? Watermelons. Watermelons will cover everything. By the way, don't hope they'll come up the second time and do as good. We got ready to do our garden this year, and I had turned it all up, and so everything was left over, like the watermelons and everything, started coming back up. So we left half of those thinking, I won't even have to plant this year. It'll just come right back up. Well, it did, but it didn't do very good. Yeah, you know, farming takes a lot of work. That's why me and farming didn't get along very well. It takes a lot of work. You got to hoe, you got to pull weeds, you got to water it, you got to put insecticides, you got to do all kinds of crazy things if you want to get something out of it. Well, guys, if you want a blessed life, you say, Brother Terry, why are you picking this time of the year to do this? So I said, well, you know, we're fixing to start a new year. We're ending the old year. It's a good time to reflect. What did I do this year? Was it a good year? Did I sow the right kinds of seeds? Did I get a harvest from it yet? Do I want to do the same thing over this coming year? Do I want to do something different? Because, you know, if you do the same thing over and over, you're going to get the same result over and over, okay? Not always a good result. Well, let's go on and look what else he says here, because there's just a lot of things here. He said, do not be deceived. God's not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to he that sows to his flesh will the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. What does it mean to sow to the flesh? I know that none of you ever get upset with anybody. Never get mad at anybody. Never want to get even. Never want to say anything to them when they do hurt your feelings. Okay, that's not me. I do. I want to do something. I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? A lot of times the flesh rears its head and I say, yeah, let's go for it. But that's not a good thing, okay? Because notice the same principle of what you sow is what you reap. If you sow that, that's what you're going to get in return. If you sow sinful things, that's what you're going to reap. Now, what would that be? What would you reap if you did a lot of sinful things? You could receive death. I don't know who said that. The Bible said there's a sin unto death. That includes the believer. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation. Okay? If you're truly saved, you can't lose your salvation. That's a permanent relationship with it. But you know, the Lord can say, Jeff, you're dishonoring my name. I'm tired of it. Pluck him right out. I'm just using him for example. So don't think I mean it, okay? Just said, please, yes. But God can do that. There's also judgment. Now, God usually starts out with chastisement for a believer. Get out of line with God, He just begins to lay a little pressure on you. Maybe things are not working out the way they're supposed to. Or maybe He'll give you enough rope to hang yourself. But when you dabble with sin as a believer, be sure God knows it, if nobody else does. And He's not going to let that pass because He loves you too much. Now, I know back in the old days when your parents would say, this is going to hurt me a lot worse than it's going to hurt you. You didn't believe them then, did you? But you know it's true. Spanking somebody is not fun. Well, once in a while it is, but we won't go there. You know, you hate to just bring pain upon your child. But you also hate to, down the road, see that child bring some serious pain in your life. You love them enough to try to bring them back into line. Well, guys, if we as earthly fathers and mothers know how important that is, how much more does God want to do that for you and I? Because He cares about not just the temporary things, but the eternal things. So when you and I get out of line as His child, He is going to try to nudge you back in line. Now, what happens if you don't listen? It goes from chastisement to judgment. Now, that doesn't always mean death. God can really bring some serious things into your life. And He's not doing it because He hates you or that He's mad at you. He's doing it because He cares about you. It only took me 40 years to understand that about my parents. Hey, I'm hard-headed. All right, let's go the other way. What does it mean to sow or plant spiritually? It means to do good things for people. It means to witness. It means to meet their needs. It means kind words, encouragement. It means forgiveness. You know, the hardest thing I can tell you is when you get angry with someone, you have an unforgiving spirit. I don't care if it's even justified. When it comes to that, there's not a win-win. Because anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness eats you up. It really does. You know, the Bible is very specific about anger. It talks about, be angry and sin not. I got to tell you, that's a hard jump right there, okay? Be ye angry and sin not. That's a very thin line. But then it comes right back and says, make sure you hurry up and get that anger out of your life and don't let the sun go down on your wrath and therefore give Satan a foot in the door. Because if you let anger or unforgiveness stay there, it gets a root of bitterness that you can't hardly get out. It's really hard to uproot that. How many farmers have you ever had nut grass? How do you get rid of nut grass? You move to a different spot and start another garden. Because it gets rooted. The only way to get it out is you got to get that little nut. Well, if you've ever pulled weeds before, you know you don't always get the root out when you pull weeds. And if you don't get that little nut thing out at the end of it, it'll just sprout right back. So it's like bitterness. Bitterness gets in your life and gets rooted. It's really hard to get it out. Guys, if we want God to really bless us, then we're going to have to sow spiritual things with our lives. You know, we need people in the world that shows the world there's a difference. That you can live a Christian life. That you can be what God wants you to be. Because we got a lot of folks out there looking at our lives saying, you're not any different than I am. Why do I need what you have? Because yours doesn't look any different than mine. You know, it really gets frustrated when I see believers mad at each other. Don't get me wrong, I've been mad at believers too. But when you sit back and you look at it and you go, wow. You know, the scriptures tell us as believers we shouldn't even sue each other. No matter what. In fact, Jesus said, if somebody sues you for your coat, give him your shirt too. What was it? Was it Paul that said we shouldn't sue anybody because one of these days we're going to judge the world, in a sense? If we can't settle our problems here in this life, guys, it is possible to forgive somebody, even if they've really hurt you. It is possible to love somebody that's unlovable. It is possible to break a habit that's bad in your life. If I didn't believe that, I would stop being a preacher. God can do all of those things. He can shape your life in such a way that He can bless you. Now, by the way, let's stop and go on, because there's another verse. And the next verse affects me more than anybody. Don't grow weary of well-doing. You know how easy it is for a pastor to get tired? Well, there's a lot of things that can cause it. One, spending a lot of time doing something and not seeing any results. Sometimes you tend to, why? Sometimes it's just physical tiredness. Sometimes it's spiritual tiredness. You know, us pastors can forget to do our spiritual thing too. Not study the Bible like we ought to, not pray like we ought to, and it has an effect on us spiritually. Discouragement. Somebody can discourage you. Disappointment. You try something, it doesn't work. All of us can grow weary of doing good. Well, why should I even bother? You ever felt that way? I have. But notice the next part of that verse. In God's timing, you're going to reap a great harvest. Not in my timing. There's a promise there, by the way. Now, you know that in farming, there's not always a guarantee. My property, you can grow mustard and collards, cabbage. You plant squash and they're going to die. Guarantee you I can kill them just as soon as they come up. For some reason, I can't grow squash there. And guess who loves squash? My favorite vegetable. There are times that you can plant seed and they not come up. Now, by the way, that's another reason it's hard for me to be a farmer. Once I plant them in the ground, I worry myself sick till they pop through the first time. You go out there every day and look. Like the next day they're going to be popping up, right? And but there's no guarantee. The seeds might be bad. They might have went through a heat. They don't work. Maybe I planted them too deep. I'm not a great farmer, by the way, but you know when you plant taters and stuff, you got to turn the eye up a certain way. Unless you expect them to grow down. Maybe the China guy's going to get your tater. I don't know. There's not always a guarantee in farming. But you know, there is a guarantee given in this passage. For in due season, we shall reap a harvest. If you sow spiritually, if you farm spiritually, God said you're going to be blessed. You're going to see something from it. And by the way, that may not be in your lifetime. There have been people who've worked hard all their life not to see things happen. It doesn't mean God's not going to bring forth a harvest. Have you ever read the 11th chapter of Hebrews? Let's turn there just a second. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Fantastic passage, by the way. This is the faith passage, the hall of faith, if you want to look at it. You get through, start and read this. It tells you about the definition of faith, and then it begins to tell you about great men and women of the Old Testament that conquered and received and were blessed by faith. And that's awesome to read that. But wait till you read the very end of the chapter. And by the way, the ones at the end of the chapter were just as faithful and had just as much faith as the ones at the beginning of the book. Amen. Now, let's go ahead and start around verse 30 and we'll read through there. Chapter 11 of Hebrews. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Now, by the way, they're still down. I mean, you can go over there. That's a tourist attraction. They're still down. They were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would not fail me to tell you of Gideon and of Barak, of Samson, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteous, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weaknesses were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the enemies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. You see, sometimes we look at somebody's life, and if they don't have the numbers, we think they're not successful. But sometimes the Bible said they're just as successful as the ones you see large numbers, those who didn't see it all happen in their lifetime. You see, if you're not rewarded here, you will be there. God keeps His promises. And if you don't get to see the blessings here, He's got greater blessings for you. Remember, the disciples were worried about that. Well, Lord, how about us? We've given up this and we've given up that and to follow You. What about that? Well, they weren't thinking much above the world, because God has promised you a better place, a better life after this world. You notice the end result to sowing spiritual things is everlasting life. It's things that last forever, not just temporal things. Temporal things is things that you can measure in this world. What about every person you encourage? Do you know how many that might be? How about, you know, one I'm going to be very anxious to see one day how many people may have trusted Christ in funeral services. That's one of the greatest times in the world to witness. People are usually don't think about death, but that's the time they have to think about it. How many times you encourage somebody you didn't even know it? Just by being kind, just by being that Christian that God's called you to be. You see, those things are eternal things. Unfortunately, we always look at the temporal, the material, the numbers. God looks at the everlasting things. You lead somebody to the Lord, that's forever. You touch somebody's life with a kind word, that's forever. God keeps count of that. And He does a good job on it, even if you don't know what it is. He does. But He also knows at times, then you don't do that. Hello. Notice the next verse. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. You know, we had the principle of spiritual farming. Here are those who get to partake of that spiritual farming. Don't you like fresh vegetables? Man, there's something good about fresh sweet corn. You know it's got to be good for you. They fatten every animal in the world with it. You know, you can practically bring in every game animal in the world with corn, including people. I like new potatoes, them little red rascals. Fresh green beans. Woo! Fresh squash. Mustard. Collards. With bacon grease. Fried cabbage. Have you ever had any fried cabbage fried in bacon grease? It'll make you slap your mama once. I wouldn't be around if I slapped her twice, so. Fried okra. That's pretty good stuff, too. Anything fried. I used to have a guy in my second church said you could fry cardboard, and he'd like it. Oh, guys, these are the folks that will receive from this. First of all, it's you. If you sow spiritually, you're going to be blessed. Whether this life or the life to come, you're going to be blessed. Second of all, the lost is going to be blessed. I wonder how many of those folks that we helped and the boat people and the Catholic guys and all of us got together and got toys out and we gave toys out to probably 85 or 90. How many of those were Christians? Well, I didn't know. I didn't ask them. But they benefited from it, didn't they? There's even a passage that talks about if one of you is saved and you're married to one that's not saved, that other person will be blessed because they're saved. That's part of the equation. So guys, when we're sowing things spiritually, and I'm not just talking about witnessing, that's the great part, but it's also ministering to them or ministering around them, they receive the benefits. Do you know how bad this world would be if believers weren't here right now? I mean, I can show you, the scriptures tell us that one day the restrainer will be taken out of the world. The restrainer is the Holy Spirit through the church right now. Amen. We think the world's bad now. Nothing in comparison to what it's going to be when the Holy Spirit takes His hand out and the church is raptured out and all of a sudden that restraining influence is not there anymore. Now, it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's not here. He will be here, but not in the way that He was. Man, guys, you don't even realize you have an influence on the world right here. So the lost. but also our brothers and sisters in Christ. Got to tell you, I'm really close to my dad. And my dad is 90 years old, and he's sick. I came in for our Christmas Eve service, and Raymond grabbed me and started praying for my dad. Because he's my brother in Christ. Now, he gets blessed for that, but I get blessed for it too. You see, when we sow spiritual things, we get blessed. The lost get blessed. Our brothers and sisters in Christ get blessed. I often heard the best way to solve any problem is a win-win situation. That's the best win-win I can think of. Become a spiritual farmer. Unlike a physical farmer, you might even be able to get squash out of it. But God promises we're going to see a harvest. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we begin a new year and we bring an end to the old year, may it be a time of reflection. Oh, I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions. We don't keep most of them anyhow. Most of those things are just things we'd like to do, but we ain't got the strength to do it. Mostly diets. Father, I'm talking about reflecting about our spiritual life this past year. Did we really sow spiritually? Or would we have to say that we sowed a lot of flesh? Father, I think any time as a believer we have another opportunity, we need to take and make the best out of it, whatever it might be. And Father, if you tarry and give us another few days till we go into a new year, we have another opportunity through you. An opportunity to sow spiritually. To make an impact on other people's lives. To make an impact on our brothers and sisters in Christ. To make an impact on the lost that needs desperately to know that love and power for their lives every day. And Father, if we'll do that, we're going to receive a blessing for it, so it'll be an impact on us as well. We'll see a great harvest one day. Lord, help us not to grow weary. It gets easy sometimes to want to quit or not to do our very best. Sometimes we get to where we just do enough to get by. Father, I believe you want us to be victorious. Or the song that Casting Crowns came out a while back with, Thrive. You want our Christian lives to thrive in a world that needs to see it desperately. That needs to know there is a God, and He's real, and He can make a difference in their lives. Father, help us to start sowing those seeds even today. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen.